The views expressed on the following program are not necessarily the views of WIBA, its management, sponsors, or staff. Broadcasting live from Planet Madison, where everything is beyond parody. This is Upfront with Vicki McKenna, the voice of reason in a city of chaos. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll free at 877-235-1310 or email Vicki at WIBA.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310 WIBA at WIBA.com.
And welcome back to the program. Still to come, we'll discuss the budget. And let me sum up the budget hearings for you. The same close-fisted, shrieking, screaming banshees beating bongo drums at the Capitol are the same people screaming and hollering and closing their fist and pumping their union-clad arms at the budget hearings. And so what do we have? You cannot propose a change to anything because it's all horrible. And when pressed by any member of the legislature to offer up an alternative proposal, more screaming and fist pumping and complaining. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a roadmap, I dare say. Screaming, complaining, throwing tantrums, and doing absolutely nothing to plug a $3.6 billion budget hole. Yeah, that's a plan. Count me in. I love it. All right, but we're going to talk about this MTI controversy that the media does not even want to bother with. And when I say the media, I mean the sock puppet media. I don't mean the blogger media. I don't mean Blaska's blog or this radio program or the folks who are out in the blogosphere in the Milwaukee area. They are talking about this. David Blaska, Blaska's blog, has been sitting at his computer dutifully trying to track down information on, you know, what's the recourse when the union in Madison calls for an illegal strike that is against state law. He joins me on the phone right now. Hi, David.
Hey, Vicki.
All right. So, you know, I gave you this yesterday. The man who had collected the information emailed me the audio recording. I sent it off to Citizens for Responsible Government, sent it off to you and other folks. And I'll tell you what. It's like it doesn't even matter that there was a wildcat strike in Madison schools. It's like it doesn't matter to the media. It doesn't matter to the district attorney. It doesn't really seem to much matter to anybody, even though that's what the unions were telling us was our protection and why we needed to continue on with collective bargaining agreements. And yet that protection failed when they decided they wanted it to fail.
You know, I almost think Skywalker and the Fitzgeralds have to put through some legislation that says there's going to be an ombudsman for taxpayers. They used to have an ombudsman for the natural resources and whatnot. You know, we're stuck here in Dane County where you've got a judge Sumi, who unequaled in Wisconsin history and unprecedented, is stopping legislation before it's become law. That's never happened before. And yet, you have the school board going to... I'll give them some credit, going to the circuit court saying, we've got an illegal strike here. And they said, no, you don't. I've gone back on Ed Hughes just yesterday saying, now we have evidence. Now we have a phone call, we have tape, we have audio of a collusion of an illegal strike here. And that's really what constitutes that, I think.
I think so, and it certainly seems that is exactly what's going on, but... you've looked at this. We can't get any recourse through the police, can't get any recourse through the district attorney. The district attorney shockingly suggested that the complainant call the union. The school board doesn't seem to be interested in seeking any relief. The county doesn't seem to be wanting to stand up. The city didn't even know who to tell anyone to call. And in fact, that is where the information to call the police came from. And in the end, even though this was a violation of law, we, the people, have exactly what in the way of recourse and rectification for the violation of the law?
We have some
folks who were thinking about filing a class action lawsuit. Well, now we have evidence that, in fact, there appears to be a wildcat strike going on that was called by the union.
Right. Yeah, and the interesting thing is the penalty for that under 111.70 in the statutes is that you can withdraw the automatic, you can delete the automatic withdrawal of dues from the union for 1 year. 111.70, comma, 7M. So any labor organization shall be penalized by the suspension of any dues checkoff and fair share agreement between the missed employer for a period of 1 year. And then at the end of the period of suspension, the labor organization has to be recertified, basically. So the penalty is pretty severe for violating this. You know, the schools are closed down for 4 days and by the union, and then the district, I think, took off a fifth day. Certainly the damages are there. You know, I don't know if it takes a citizens group. I think we need to have someone take this evidence in. Maybe we should talk to Don Severson on this. But it would be wonderful to have somebody with one child in school to go in and say, you know, here's my damages. I was inconvenienced. Here's my out-of-pocket expenses.
All right. And if there is a person out there, a parent out there, who's willing to step up, please give us a call here at 321-1310 or toll-free 877-235-1310. So the penalty here, as David Blaska has determined, is if, in fact, it is found that an illegal strike was called, 1 year of no dues payment. Remember, we've got a contract extension granted by the school board to the union. So a one-year suspension of automatic dues remittances, and then also forcing a vote to recertify. And I think that is something we should pursue, frankly, because we do have a two-year extension on teachers' contracts, David.
Well, here's what bothers me about that. I attended, I think it was the date was Saturday, March 12th. Yeah, I was there. And they announced an agreement with MTI. And they said, you know, we got an agreement that the teachers are going to pay, first of all, no pay increases. Well, it turns out that they get an automatic, I said this on my blog at the time, there's an automatic step increase. It turns out that's 2.3%. I give the State Journal a lot of credit. They kept at it. Scott Milford, an email, tells me that he was told, well, it was inconsequential, not even worth talking about. He kept at it and found out that it's a 2.3% per year increase on just on the step thing. In other words, longevity. If you survive another year as a teacher in Madison, you get a 2.3% increase. That puts into the shade anything that Mayor Dave Juszlewicz gave to city employees, which was 2%. Plus, you know, we were told that they were going to pay up to 10% of their health insurance. And now it turns out that, well, we've got enough money in the budget, they don't have to pay anything. So the teachers' union has been rewarded for closing down the schools.
All right, let's go over that again so that people aren't confused. So all of the discussion about what happened in the contract, yes, there was a pay increase. It was 2.3%. And no, there wasn't a contribution to pension that was originally supposed to be 10%. Now it's 0%. So you're right, David. They were rewarded. Rewarded for what? Rewarded for calling a wildcat strike in violation of the law. And we don't have any recourse here.
And rewarded for political action. And now, I've got a request out, an FOI request out to the, because they also said, we're going to penalize, we're going to dock the pay when they missed. I want to see how many teachers were docked. And they also said, we're going to discipline teachers who called in these fake doctor's notices. How many teachers were disciplined for the lying, you know, under oath, basically, with fake doctor notices. I want the number of those teachers who were disciplined and what their discipline was.
And I want to know what they're going to do to actually dock the union as well. What we just learned is that they rewarded coordination of a wildcat strike with better than expected contract terms. All right, real quickly, David, stay with me here. I'm going to see if I cannot accidentally hang up on you and get some calls up. Let's go. Who should I go to first here? Who's been waiting the longest? All right, let's go to Norm. Welcome to the program, Norm.
Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
I'm just wondering if we could make an effort and get Congresswoman Baldwin to look into this. Maybe she could ask for a federal investigation.
Yeah.
She's concerned about election laws. I mean, this is probably
Purview anyway, right? I mean, she's a big fan of big labor, so presumably she's probably very, and I, you know,
She wants them to be honest, I would presume.
Yes. You know, let's not hold our breath because we'll turn blue and die. It's like waiting for the district. It's like waiting for the superintendent. By the way, David, well, I know that folks, lots of thanks for the call. A lot of people have contacted the superintendent or claim they have. Has anybody received a response from the administration of the Madison Metropolitan School District?
I don't know about that, but, you know, interesting, Vicki, I posted this thing yesterday, this blog, and I'm looking here, and it's number one right now on the Isthmus' most popular blog, Alaska Blogs, the smoking gun of the teachers' union illegal sick out, and I give you credit for putting me onto that story. It's number one. I've never seen any blog of mine go to number one so quickly, except for the union thing that Governor Walker had with the collective bargaining. And I think, you know, people are getting onto this a little bit. You know, talk about Tammy Baldwin. Let's have Eric Holder in here. Let's talk about the equal protection of the laws. So if we're going to talk laws applying to everyone, let's make sure that the laws apply to everyone.
Yeah, and let's make sure that the people have recourse, because that was supposedly in the law.
Yeah.
Preventing these kinds of strikes from being called was supposed to be the people's protection.
For political purposes. For political purposes. Yeah, that was the whole thing. It wasn't,
not even,
you know,
for
wasn't,
a contract dispute,
no,
but for a,
no.
for a political
partisan
statement.
Yeah, partisan politics in Madison. Now, thankfully, the Madison teachers are right here, and they can pour down, along with the Teachers Assistance Association from the university, instant shock troops for the siege of the Capitol.
Yeah, all right, and I agree with you, and that matters, is the fact that it was actually for political consideration. Bill, welcome to the program. You're on with David Blaska.
Yeah, Vicki, I heard the conversation yesterday, and I heard that phone call, about that taped phone call. You know, we got that same phone call, because my wife is a teacher, and I thought I had saved it, and I was going to send it to you, but then we went on vacation, I got back, and it was gone. But in my 26 years of criminal investigations, I know of at least one incident in which a John Doe investigation was commenced by a citizen.
Mm.
And there's a procedure where if the district attorney will not act, a citizen can commence a John Doe investigation. You can then bring those four named people, before the John Doe, and force testimony concerning who they called and anything else they know about the situation. You could take that all the way up the chain of command of the entire teachers and finally get to the union people who staged this.
You think we should look into that as an available option? Because I've never even heard of doing that.
This man is correct. Vicki, I've heard this in the deep recesses of my troubled mind. Get this fellow's name here when you go off the air, because he's absolutely correct. I'm not sure he can choose a judge here, but I've got a couple in mind here. There is some justice in Dane County yet.
All right, Bill, can you hold, and we'll hook you up with how you and Mr. Blaska can have a conversation?
Well, yeah, but I have to be a confidential informant.
Sure. We won't use your name in print.
Yeah,
my wife is a teacher.
All right, and so, but let me just confirm here, Bill, your wife received a call as well to sick out, according,
yeah,
and it was an order from MTI?
Well, one of these chain calls where this person's job was to call so many people to tell them to
organize call.
And in our call, it was credited to MTI. So you hold on. And how do we do this without disconnecting? You can do this,
well,
Brent. All right, Bill. We will keep you confidential as well, because we
just
understand.
Just ask for his email, and then I'll email him, and we'll keep it off the name will be off the record.
You know, let's go back to your idea of an ombudsman, David, because good grief, you would think that we could rely on our bodies of government. But our bodies of government have decided that a certain segment of the population doesn't matter and do not need to be respected or represented. And that is what's going on here in Madison. And that, frankly, is all bodies of government at this point in our area.
There is a fear factor, Vicki, and it is the teachers' union. There is no more, I would say the bicycle people are second, but the teachers' union runs this town. They have for a long time. Everyone lives in fear of the teachers' union. And, you know, they backed Soglin. I mean, that's why he won. They run the roost. They rule the roost, they should say.
I think you're right. And I think a major reason, and we haven't even talked about the mayor's race. John Matthews and MTI backed Paul Soglin. It was another reason why I wasn't going to back Soglin's campaign. And
that's right.
And no doubt about it, you know, even though AFSCME had backed Cheslevich, the power base of politics in Madison is MTI. And MTI are the ones we are alleging here in this phone call were the ones who called the Wildcat.
They put muscle on the street. They did with Juan Jose Lopez when he was running Briar Patch, a place for troubled children. He was on the school board. Juan Jose Lopez, Hispanic. He was a little tough in the negotiations. They picketed his place. Troubled kids were thinking about suicide. See their teachers picketing Fire Patch. They were turned aside. I mean, this is one of the criminal acts of union thuggery. And yet they allow this man into the Doyle building. It just blows my mind.
It doesn't blow my mind, given what we saw play out at the Capitol, at all. There isn't fair play in this town. This town is bought and paid for, and if you are, you know, if you're not on the list, then you're not on the list, and you're going to not only get shut out, but the law doesn't even matter. The law doesn't even matter in this case.
The union elects, they don't not only elect the school board, they elect the county board, and at least in the city of Madison, and they elect the city council. I can tell you who they endorsed. That's why I had, you know, you credited me with getting 24 out of 24, right? All you got to do is look at who the teachers union endorses. Then you know who wins.
I think you're probably right. I wanted to give you more credit. Don't.
Well, I
don't
beat them.
Not
I
take
beat
credit.
Them. I was the only one that beat them, but and not the only one, but they can be beat. They can be. And I don't want to be downhearted about this, but
let's go back though to what law number 111.70 says. And that is the penalty for violating this part of the labor law.
Is a suspension of any dues checkoff agreement and fair share agreement between the employer and such labor organization for a period of 1 year. At the end of that year, any such agreement could be reinstated unless the labor organization is no longer authorized to represent the municipal employees covered by such dues checkoff, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it doesn't order a re-vote on that, but it certainly opens the door for it because you've got a due suspension for a year.
So you've got recertification that would necessarily, because of the due suspension, be required. So the union would have to have 50% plus one to recertify. And that due suspension, now remember, we've got an extended contract, a nice generous contract for the teachers union here in Madison, a period of extension of 2 years. The dues payment could be suspended for 1 year for violation of their own contracts. They agree they won't engage in illegal labor action. If we can't trust them not to do this, if we can't trust them to honor their own contracts, they won't even honor their own contracts.
Well, and, you know, Don Severson has sent me some information. I'm trying to bring it up.
He's
here,
coming. He's actually going to be in right after the 4:35 break.
Well, ask him to verify this, but he is determined that the dues take by the union, this is why this is so important, this is why they can afford good attorneys, is on the order of something like $2.3 million. So,
It wouldn't surprise me because statewide under WEAC it's about $25 million.
Well,
and that's not MTI. That's David, we got to go. I appreciate
right.
the time, and I want everyone to follow along because David Blaska is on the story. He is on the scoop, ladies and gentlemen, at Blaska's blog, which you can find at thedailypage.com. There's a reason he wins awards. Thanks, David.
Gotcha.